Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something truly unusual, a case that sits right at the edge of historical record and, well, impossibility. It's about an instant mass disappearance.
That's right. We're looking at a situation where the sources themselves are fragmented, separated by decades and continents. We have bits from 1899 New York City, and then these really bizarre findings from 1955 Antarctica.
And the heart of it is this legendary figure, the Great Zappi, an illusionist famed for making big things vanish. But the story goes, one night he made his entire audience disappear instead.
Exactly. And that's the core mission for this deep dive. How do you piece together reliable knowledge when you've got, whispers from the time, official silence, and then physical artifacts showing up 56 years later, half a world away?
It's a fascinating puzzle. The official story, or lack thereof, seems to minimize it, brush it under the rug, but the rumor, the sheer scale of it, persists.
Right. So our challenge is to carefully separate what seems like actual evidence, say, statements from the theater staff, from the legend, the more fantastical elements like the scale, the Antarctic link.
Okay, so let's structure this. We'll walk through the timeline of that night in 1899, look at the immediate aftermath and that official silence, and then jump to the 1955 discovery.
And finally, we'll unpack the main theories that try to explain how something like this could even happen. Not to solve it necessarily, but to understand the different angles people have taken.
All right, let's set the scene. Late 1800s, New York City. Stage magic is huge, right? And the Great Zappi is apparently a star.
A big name. His specialty wasn't just, rabbits out of hats. He made large objects vanish, even large animals, which becomes quite significant later.
And the night in question, Friday, October 13th, 1899, seems fitting somehow.
It does. And the theater was jammed, packed to the rafters. Accounts suggest over 1,500 people. Imagine that crush, the anticipation.
Then Zappi comes out, makes this huge announcement. This is it, his very last performance, his grand finale.
And he says he has one final ultimate trick left. You can just feel the tension ratcheting up in that room.
So what was the trick? How did it begin?
He gave the audience a specific instruction. Everyone, all 1,500 of them, had to close their eyes and count down together from 10.
Collective participation. Interesting. Closing their eyes, counting.
Yes. And this is where it gets incredibly strange, and the sources are consistent. The moment of disappearance. It happened before they could even say nine.
Before nine. So they say 10 and then silence.
Instant silence. Total void, where 1,500 voices should have been uttering nine. Imagine that abrupt stop.
We need to picture the scene right after. Maybe someone dropped their program as they started counting, so you'd see a dropped playbill at 10 just lying there.
Exactly. A single small marker of that last conscious moment. And then emptiness. Those packed red velvet rows gone still, instantaneously vacant.
The speed is the thing. It defies any sort of normal explanation, any kind of staged exit.
Absolutely. And the framing, final trick, last performance. It suggests this was intended, planned, not some accident or miscalculation, but something deliberate.
So if the audience vanished, who was left? Who saw what happened?
Only the theater staff. People backstage, ushers maybe, anyone who wasn't part of the audience, instructed to close their eyes and count. Their exclusion feels deliberate.
And what did they report seeing?
They claimed Zappi didn't stick around. No bow, no acknowledgement. He apparently just bolted from backstage, ran.
Ran where?
Out a side door, likely a backstage exit, swinging shut behind him, and then gone. Vanished himself, essentially, never reliably seen again.
But that makes no sense. If it was his greatest trick, a success, why run? Why flee?
That's the immediate contradiction, isn't it? Success should mean triumph, applause. Flight suggests panic or guilt. Or maybe he unleashed something he couldn't control.
Okay, so the audience is gone, Zappi's fled. What happens next? Officially.
Well, this is where the erasure begins. For decades, reports say the incident was just minimized, deliberately downplayed, brushed under the rug by officials, as the stories go.
Like that case with Klaus Richter you mentioned, where the lack of an official record becomes the story.
Precisely. The absence becomes a kind of evidence itself. No police reports, no missing persons inquiries on that scale, no official investigation that we can find. It's like the city just wanted it to not have happened.
So we have the staff saying Zappi ran, that seems factual enough, but the disappearance itself, the main event, it just evaporates from the official record.
Right. And that raises the question, were they covering up a crime? Or was the event so fundamentally impossible, so outside any category they understood, that they literally couldn't document it? Was it just too weird for the files?
An unclassifiable anomaly.
Perhaps, leaving just the rumors, the legend growing in that vacuum of information. And that silence, that void, lasts for a very, very long time.
Until 1955. The story jumps forward 56 years, and the location shifts dramatically.
Completely. From a crowded New York theater in 1899 to the vast empty ice fields of Antarctica in 1955.
Who found whatever was found?
A film crew. They're out there shooting a documentary, you know, about the landscape, the wildlife, and they stumbled onto something utterly unexpected and horrifying.
What did they find?
They described a huge wind-scoured ice field and scattered across it frozen remains, thousands of them.
Not just people.
No. This is the crucial link back to Zappy. The site reportedly contained the frozen remains of every person, animal, or item that Zappy ever made disappear. His entire repertoire, seemingly.
Wait, so not just the audience from the last night, but things he vanished over his whole career.
That's what later accounts claim, yes.
Yeah.
Which makes it even stranger. It wasn't just the final act, but an accumulation, an impossible archive.
So you could literally picture, like, a snow-blown top hat from an audience member next to a frozen elephant tusk from one of his earlier famous illusions.
Exactly that kind of juxtaposition. Relics from his entire stage career, alongside the audience from October 13th, 1899, all preserved together in the ice.
The physics are just staggering. Vanished in New York, reappeared 56 years later, perfectly preserved, under what, a purpled sunset over Antarctic blue ice?
The preservation is key. Instant deep freeze, it seems, which suggests the transport mechanism, whatever it was, delivered them directly into that environment. Cold storage on an unbelievable scale.
And there's something else, wasn't there? Something about the film crew's equipment.
Yes, a really interesting detail in some accounts. At the moment they fully realized what they were seeing, their camera supposedly failed. Just stopped working.
Like a camera that clicks and then won't. A mechanical witness that just gives up in the face of the impossible.
Or maybe a hint that whatever caused the event left some kind of residual effect. It's another layer of strangeness. These frozen figures, these artifacts, they outlasted Zappy, outlasted the memory, almost broke the technology trying to record them.
Okay, so connecting 1899 New York to 1955 Antarctica, it forces us to consider some pretty wild theories. The sheer impossibility demands it.
It really does. We have to look at the explanations that have been proposed, weighing them against both the vanishing and the reappearance. Let's break down the main ones.
Theory one seems the most mundane, I suppose. A coordinated exit and cover-up. No magic, just a massive, complex, stage-managed event by Zappy and his team.
Right. This tries to explain Zappy fleeing, escaping a crime scene, and the official silence of cover-up, maybe involving bribery or threats.
It's the logistics. Moving 1,500 people out of a packed theater silently, between 10 and 9.
It's immense. Reports say the theater exits were watched. How do you get that many people out without a sound, without anyone noticing? Trapdoors, secret tunnels. The scale seems, well, beyond practical for 1899.
And even if they use gas, like some suggest?
Again, how do you gas 1,500 people instantly, evenly, without affecting the staff backstage? And crucially, this theory completely falls apart with the Antarctic discovery.
Right. How do you secretly transport 1,500 bodies, plus props, plus animals, to Antarctica over the next 50 years and stage a discovery? It doesn't work.
The logistics issues are insurmountable for this theory, especially bridging the gap between 1899 and 1955. It explains the disappearance poorly and the reappearance not at all.
Okay, theory two, mass psychology. Zappy used mass hypnosis or some powerful suggestion. He convinced the audience they'd vanished, or maybe convinced them to participate in a staged exodus they wouldn't remember.
This one addresses the audience participation, the closed eyes, the counting. It makes sense that he'd want them in a receptive or distracted state. Maybe they just walked out quietly under suggestion.
And the staff saw Zappy flee what looked like an empty theater.
Potentially. But again, Antarctica is a problem. Hypnosis doesn't move matter.
It doesn't explain the frozen elephant tusk or the top hat or the bodies themselves physically being there decades later.
Exactly. The physical evidence found in 1955 requires a physical explanation. Mass hypnosis just doesn't account for the transportation of people and objects across the globe. It fails the artifact test.
Which brings us to theory three. And this is where things get really interesting. The idea that it wasn't stage magic or conventional crime, but something genuinely anomalous, impossible tech or a rift event.
This theory leans into the strangeness. The speed before nine suggests something faster than human action, faster than chemicals, something instantaneous.
A technology Zappy possessed, or maybe accidentally triggered, like a spatial rift, A tear in space-time?
Possibly. This is the only theory that really grapples with both the instant disappearance and the transhemispheric transport. The countdown stopping early could hint at some kind of localized time distortion.
And the cold storage in ice fits, too. If you're ripped through some kind of dimensional gateway, maybe ending up flash frozen in Antarctica is a plausible, if horrifying, side effect.
It provides a mechanism, however theoretical, for both the speed and the destination. It also makes Zappy's flight understandable.
How so?
If he activated some device or opened some rift, maybe he couldn't control it. Maybe he saw instantly what happened. His audience, his life's work of vanished objects, all sucked into oblivion and deposited somewhere awful, and he just ran in terror from what he'd unleashed.
So, not a triumphant magician, not a calculating criminal, but maybe someone who stumbled onto physics far beyond his control.
It fits the panic flight, certainly. A catastrophic success, perhaps.
Okay, one more main theory. Theory 4. Later artifact staging. This one tries to break the chain.
Right. This suggests the 1899 disappearance was maybe something more conventional, if grim. A mass poisoning, trapdoors, something localized. The bodies were disposed of somewhere else entirely.
And the Antarctica discovery, a completely separate event, a hoax.
Exactly. A hoax staged decades later, perhaps by Zappy loyalists or someone wanting to cement his legend. They gathered props, maybe even bodies from elsewhere, shipped them to Antarctica, and arranged the discovery.
To create the myth of the impossible vanishing act, covering up a more mundane, albeit massive, crime back in 1899.
The main challenge here, though, is the detail reported in those later accounts of the Antarctic find. That it contained every person, animal, or item Zappy had ever vanished.
Not just the final audience.
Correct. To fake that level of detail, collecting artifacts spanning his entire career, transporting them secretly, staging it perfectly, seems almost as difficult and improbable as the rift theory itself.
It would require incredible dedication, resources, and secrecy over decades. Who would do that and why?
It's a valid question. The sheer scope of the alleged staging makes the hoax theory very, very complex in its own right. It almost requires as much belief as the anomaly itself.
So we're left with these fragments, these persistent motifs, the countdown stopping short, that break in time.
The erasure, the official silence becoming its own form of proof, and this bizarre transformation of a stage show into, well, an Antarctic relic.
And always that core mystery, the instantaneous vanishing, immediately followed by Zappy's desperate flight. What did he know? What did he see?
We really can't offer a definitive answer. Was it the ultimate illusion? Using forces we still don't grasp? Was it a meticulously planned crime disguised as magic? Or was it something truly outside our understanding of reality?
The outcome remains the same. 1,500 people vanished in the blink of an eye. Their final destination, apparently, the coldest, most remote place on Earth.
And we come back to that final image. The wind-scoured ice field holding this impossible collection, this frozen archive of a single night's impossible event. The silence of the stage in 1899 found its echo, preserved forever in the Antarctic ice.
One stage, two continents, and a silence no encore could break.